Did you know that we all have at least one soul place in the physical world? A soul place is a special site or spot where we experience unique feelings of belonging, empowerment, and energetic rejuvenation. Mado Soul, good morning. Thank you for joining me on another day of Life or Death Ministries. Good afternoon, I should say. Lord, forgive me. I reference this, the vein of life, right? I'm capturing the vein of life. This is a place of heavenly existence. I found my safe haven. I plateaued off, or I'm taking it above and beyond. I'm storing my treasures in heaven. And where is the segregation, though, right? Is it water and oil being mixed together? You notice every entity that we are referencing, right? So you think about, did you know we all have at least one soul place in the physical world? So, and does God exist in the physical world? Yes, of course. Miracles each and every day in so many ways, shapes, and forms. So we seek Him in every possession. Now think about the way that we've been taught for a second, and I don't want to get sidelined here, but just think about the aggressiveness of the thought, the notion, the actual practicality of discipline and degree. Find Christ in every enactment. That's tough. That's tough for me. I'm thinking about it, and I'm grasping it real quick. All of a sudden, it's no more than a confession that I really don't have Christ. I'm not sure who He is. I've heard about forgiveness, incarnation, salvation, but I really don't have Christ. So it's challenging for me as I stumble in this world, as I drag my feet, and I'm a slave to the scripture, if you would, and I'm trying to see Christ within it. But yet, what if you are alive because of Christ? God has given you this life. He is the giver, the taker. Because of Christ, I am forgiven. I am redeemed. I possess it within Him. And then every aspect, relationship, every acquaintance, everywhere that I travel, every season, every hour, if you would, is no more than a direct reflection of how He is within me. So we're third person narrating ourselves 24/7. I was just listening to somebody the other day, and they were giving a talk, and I apologize, it was just a little bit ago, and the topic was heavenly wisdom, like godly wisdom, and creature wisdom. And I thought to myself, well, it belongs with Him, though, right? And of course, Proverbs, you start thinking about it as when it starts. And of course, we've got the fear of God. And I don't know if it's the fear of God, and fear doesn't exist. Fear is a liar because of Christ, right? And we're reminded of that salvation. But if we give it back to us, we find that we're never happy. But if we put it back within His hands, and He's the reason that I'm alive, by the way, so I seek God in Christ daily, and I have them at some way, shape, and form, but I'm looking to grow within them. I'm looking to to have fulfillment. I did a quick assessment of the location that I'm living in. I'm trying to wed. I'm trying to make commitment, trying to have marriage, pro-life, etc. Lord, forgive me, a personal confession of an antidote. Yay, congratulations on my life and how it's advancing, how it's growing. But I did this assessment, and I thought about it, and my honest confession as I was praying on it, and I said, you know, I'm not capable of having a God-blessed marriage at this location. And the reason why is because privacy was not being offered, nor was God, nor was Christ. In fact, there was this whole other agenda to where you had to deal with somebody else being in your life without consent, with them having the ability to make decisions on you. And I think about this. I welcome God within my life. I welcome Christ within my life. Fulfillment, sustainment. I want to be blessed, redeemed. Yes, sanctified, glorified. I think along those lines, come into my heart, soul, and mind. And I take care of mine and I take care of my own. But when it came to that point that they were only in my life, and instead of them being capable of, we're going to give to you, we're going to help you, we're going to let God work miracles within us so that we can be a form of God that you are receiving, so that you can be saved, you can be redeemed, you can be glorified and sanctified. Along those lines, it was the exact opposite. Well, we're only going to be in your life so we can condemn you, so that we can judge you, so that we can hate you, so that we can ridicule you. But I said, stop, what are you doing? No, no, consent is valuable. God is love, right? Consent is a form of love, unconditional, blameless. I don't owe anybody anything, and you don't owe me anything, right? Yes, of course. And I think that that works. But when it becomes about pushing the envelope, rubbing elbows, shaking hands, and nodding the head, and all of a sudden the personal preference or agenda of God has taken seed and taken root into these hearts, souls, and minds, and deceptively they have nowhere to turn. Rather, this is the walk that they've taken, the stone that they've casted, and God in Christ is no longer an option, then we're in trouble. I referenced it. I said, well, we're in trouble. I talked to an individual at the fitness center this morning. We're sitting in the hot tub, and I'm talking to him, and he said, I just don't understand. I says, it's really troubling, though. I said, to think about it. I says, in what planet, and we were referencing belief, naturally. He didn't even identify himself as a Christian. And I immediately apologized, because I like acceptance. Acceptance is love. So I apologized. I said, I'm very big in Christianity, like very, very, very big into it. Like, that's all there is for me. So I said, I apologize. I might be a little bit biased, but I said, I most certainly can talk in unconditional love. I can be receptive to the love, and I can hear it. When in Rome, eat like the Romans, practice like the Romans, etc., right? Biblical teaching, fundamental, I'm capable of making it happen. He says, I just don't get it. And I says, the government passes statutes and codes actively each and every day, and they have statistics stating that there is going to be a percentage of individuals that fail. I said, so how is it that they are the ones that are preventing you from dying? And think about what I'm saying. They're telling you, you can't die today. You're not going to be allowed to die. There's limitations on when you can die and how you shall die. And yet in the further standing, the other mindset is what? We're not gonna allow you to be alive. But hold on a second, I said. I believe in God. God being the giver and taker. Remember, He is the creator. We are only the creature, the humble servant. So I referenced that it's saddening. It's a sense of saddening oppression that we in this world, we live in a world to where godly sustainment. And remember, let's not segregate the two between godly sustainment and creature sustainment, because they are of one. We are of His. We're humble servants. The body, the temple, the synagogue, and thought, word, and deed, heart, soul, mind, body, and spirit, I belong to Him. So let's not separate them like I'm a third person narrative of God and Christ. No, I belong with Him seated at the right hand. Come into my heart, soul, and mind. But it's sad to think that we could offer sustainment to everybody. But guess what? Sustainment isn't valuable, and it's not important. Rather, pushing the agenda of something that doesn't work has become the only priority. So why should you have to suffer or fight for something that doesn't work? Because if it works, then you don't have nothing to worry about. But if it's saddening, if it's a sense of oppression, sorrow, and agony, and it toils you and it torments you, it takes you further away from the truth, from the biblical truth, the presence of having that discipline intervene within your life, why should you or how should you suffer? And you shall not. But of course, every belief, every seed that's planted, and let's call it intellectual conception, every seed that gets planted upon you is no more than you having the ability of either repenting or consenting to it, accepting it, manifesting it, and bringing it back to life. And by the way, if you shall choose life, where does it belong? Well, you give it back to God. You give it back to Christ. You put it right back within His hands. Now, I'm delivering it to Him because He's delivered it to me. It's not my life. It's His life, and I'm giving it back to Him. Well, some of us have the hardest time dealing with that, for what we have to offer others is not a form of love for Christ, but it's a form of condemnation. So don't ever be involved in any relationship, personally, professionally, any enactment in life, whether it is even for a minute. Remember, eye for an eye and breath for a breath, that type of mentality. Do not find yourself awkwardly stranded at a desert oasis while God and Christ are the ones with the holy water, while you're looking to be redeemed and you have nowhere to walk or to turn to or anywhere to go. Now, all of a sudden, I'm tortured. When they offer you something, and God and Christ are not in the picture, you're allowed to say no. You know what? In fact, I'm not even interested in what you're offering me anymore. My answer is no. You are allowed to say no. It's the truth. And part of unconditional love consent is saying no and being capable of saying yes. So let's be reminded, and I apologize, I didn't mean to get so carried away right at the beginning here. Lord, forgive me. But let us be reminded for a quick second. When you have God, when you have Christ, the Holy Spirit, when you have the substance, God help me, deliver me, when you have that within your heart, soul, and mind, and it is giving you, driving you, it is the gear, the driven, I am saved, I'm redeemed, I can proclaim it with joy and with happiness, I'm capable of giving with unconditional love, then you have everything and an abundance of it. And don't forget about privacy. You gotta have privacy. Otherwise, your intimate relationship with Christ, your Savior and Redeemer, or with your Creator, with God Himself, is not valuable. But when you don't have privacy, and when you don't have God, and when you don't have Christ, and when you don't have the ability, the commitment, and the reassurance of Him, you don't have anything. So to sum it up, and I think different, when you have God, You have an abundance of everything, and it's private. You don't need anybody else's acknowledgement, acceptance, or denial. I'm saved because of Christ. Hallelujah. I apologize you feel that way. Right? You ain't even got to hear about it. You don't even got to acknowledge them. You're capable of walking away. But when you don't have it, it's apparent. You see them, they're scorned, they're bitten. They ain't got nothing good to say. They're talking and looking at you. They know it. They know it themselves. They just ain't got it. So when you've got God in Christ, you got everything. And when you don't have Him, you don't have nothing. And don't let it become my problem that you've made the choices to have nothing and I've made the choices to have everything. For I seek God in Christ within every enactment. Remember the mentality and apply it within your personal and professional lives. Take a self-note. Write this down if you would. You're not a third-person narrative to God in Christ. I seek God in Christ within every entity, within every relationship. Excellent. Very good. But the reason that you're alive is because of God in Christ. So to be that third-person narrative, you're on the outside of your own life, standing out, looking in, and God in Christ are on the inside, and you're knocking on the door. Hello? Let me back on in. Come into my heart, soul, mind. Let me in. Come on. Let me get back to God and Christ real quick. It's never going to be. There's a separation. It doesn't mix. It is not a correlation of water and oil in the way that it mixes and blends up. Think about what I'm saying. He is one within you in heart, soul, mind, thought, word, and deed. Even when you make commitment and you shall wed. Think about what I'm saying. Even when you make commitment and you shall wed. Genesis 2:24. Therefore a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And heart, soul, mind, thought, word, and deed. And if my body is the synagogue, if my body is the temple, the heart, soul, mind, the thought, word, and deed, and I am a possession of Christ, the blood, the breath that is put within me, my heart, soul, and mind, think about what I'm saying, then God blesses me by putting these women in my life, and I seek to have fulfillment within God and Christ by having them within my life. Every relationship you have takes you further to God in Christ. It builds you up. You raise me up. You get taken to a different level. You are thankful. You are rejoiced and you are redeemed. The Bible references the worth of a good woman and also the reference of a good husband on how they biblically, same notion as humanly, biblically, humanly, godly, we're all one, united as one, become as one flesh. Remember though, consent, not everybody's all together, not that mindset, commitment within God, and God wants everybody to have their own, you get taken further. Well, I think different, but I think with the right individuals in your life, you'll only be taken up a whole lot further. Though, I mean, your life will be blessed in ways that you never even thought was possible. You'll go above and beyond and you'll be saved. You'll be redeemed. You'll be rejoicing. You'll have an abundance of everything. And they'll bring the best out of you, the right person. And if you truly seek God in Christ, watch out. Here comes the blessings. But the wrong person, they'll bring the worst out of you. So life is blind and so is love because of God. You believe in hope. You believe in faith and you believe. You might not see it. Some days you don't even get to touch it. And you think about it, you pray on it. Some of us, we mourn on it. We don't even sure how to express ourselves. The emotional attachment of what He's given us, love itself. But we believe in it. So we have nothing to worry about. It is the trust, the belief, the faith, the hope. We believe that He's going to be the deliverance of us. Do we need other individuals looking at our life and saying, hope, faith, belief, repent, rebuke? No, none of course. How come? Because of Him. Haven't you ever heard of Jesus Christ? Who? No, Jesus Christ, I said. Have you ever heard of Him? No, because of Him, I am saved and I am redeemed. I don't have anything to worry about. I shall possess Him within me, the substance of the truth, the reason that I'm alive in this world. And if I shall not possess it, well, I shall seek wondrously lost in this world, walking with my head down, stumbling and crawling on the ground, seeking His saving grace and His eternity. How many of you have chosen to stumble today? How many of you have chosen to fall today? Oh my goodness, you okay? What's wrong? No, you heard of Jesus Christ, remember? You're okay? Each and every day, you have the opportunity. You, as a believer, as a humble servant, as an individual, whether He's blessed you in family, tithes, and deeds, and whether He hasn't, you have the ability to deliver it and to bring it. He is the one that saves you and redeems you. So you're alive because of him. I'm not seeking him like I'm lost out in the world and that's my confession. Wash me and cleanse me of my sins and iniquities. Give me strength, knowledge, and wisdom and power to be defined within the scripture. Scripture doesn't define me. I'm not accepted nor denied. Do you know why? Because I'm alive because of Christ. I don't look to be denied. I know that I am accepted. Have that type of love for one another, and it'll take you to a different place. Don't forget about the body, the temple, the synagogue, and being united as one. Commitment is only relevant when God and Christ are involved, and it requires a private, intimate relationship. I'm going to repeat myself. Relationships, commitment, marriage, any of your relationships, even acquaintances, they're only valuable when God and Christ are at the top for the topic, and you are capable of having undefined, unconditional, unrestricted love that knows no limitations or boundaries. Because of Christ, you are forgiven, you are redeemed, and you are allowed to privately, intimately love and embrace one another. And by the way, while we're on the topic of love, if you don't mind me saying, there is only one alternative. What shall that be? It shall be hate. So some of you choose to hate or you love to hate, but it shall not be my iniquity, and I do not possess it. 2 Timothy 1:8, therefore do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. Ooh-wee, for real? Do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord. You ain't got nothing to worry about. No, he's here for you. You are saved. You are redeemed of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner. Why am I his prisoner? Because I've chosen not to keep him within my thought, word, and deed. I've decided to be that humble servant, to crawl back down on the ground, to fall. And now I'm begging. I seek him in every entity, but he was given to me at birth. As soon as the breath hit my lungs, immediately I had him, but I couldn't hold on to him. I had to give him away. So now a prisoner. As a prisoner of scripture in the gospel of God himself, I am saved, I am redeemed, I am enlightened, here we go. But share in the suffering for the gospel? Is there suffering? The suffering is no more than the hallelujah. It's the turning the cheek, it's the walking away. It's the commitment, the testament of going the extra mile, taking the extra step, doing what you got to do to make sure he's where he needs to be within your life. You know what I'm saying? I ain't mad at you. Think about what I'm saying. Somebody comes up to you and your wife comes home at night and she's mad as fire. She heard something bad on you. You did something wrong and she ain't happy with you. She walks up to the door. She looks at you. She goes, I got to talk to you. Well, come to find out, you just had the worst day ever. I mean, you walked right off the job. You couldn't take it anymore. You just can't deal with the individuals that they got in your life. You look back at her. You return the favor. You tell her. Now, I mean, it better be about God. Otherwise, I don't want to hear about it. She looks at you for a second. Oh, my goodness. No, I know. It better be about God or I don't want to hear about it. Sometimes we need to have that mentality. And not just with our spouses. God bless us. I mean, sometimes we have a hard time finding that love at the end of the day and the end of the night. God help us. Keep us alive. Keep us redeemed. Fulfillment, joy, happiness, intimate, emotional, physical sustainment. Yes. Redeem us. And think about what I'm saying. Sometimes we have a very, very hard time finding God within that enactment. How many times have you got to a point to where you're at a crossroads, a turn in the road? You're at a point to where I'm going up or I'm going down. I'm giving up completely. I'm down on my knees. I'm paying. I'm praying. I'm repenting. It just ain't going nowhere. I'm confessing it. And here comes God's opportunity. Now, I mean, it outright better be about God or I don't want to hear it. And here you go. You make it about creature. There is the prisoner. You make it about creatures, sharing the suffering, the power of God. You make it the prisoner, right? I've decided to be a prisoner. I mean, it outright better be about God. There's just some things in this world you can't change. By the way, next time you get in a fight in your relationships, Lord, forgive me, you get smacked or something. I ain't mad at you, right? We all like to walk in that straight line. Our crooked ways absolutely have been turned straight, a sense of fulfillment. But I'm going to give you the confession. And my confession is, I just can't afford to lose her. I can't afford to lose them. The ones that I have in my life that I value, that I love unconditionally, I just can't afford to lose them. So each and every day, assertively as the clock ticks, the biological aging process advances, and eternity happens as this breath exits my mouth. I'm reminded that I need to help her have God, and she needs to help me. That I'm fighting for her, for Christ, and for God. For goodness sakes, I just can't afford to lose her. But by the way, if a discussion shall come up and it's heated and it's disgruntled and we're just not where we should be and such forth, I mean, outright the truth, Lord, forgive me. I mean, it better be about God. Amen. Hallelujah. Because you can't take it any further. We can't change one another. And the person who tells us we're right or we're wrong, that's going to be him. Does that mean that you can't have boundaries, limitations? It means that you're not ashamed of his love and you can embrace it. And you can set that boundary. You can say, don't cross this line. I don't want you walking out on me. I don't want you seeing any other boys or going out on me or having sex with anybody else, right? I mean, we talked about this. And think about it. So with God, privacy, commitment, you have everything. But without God, you have no privacy. You manifest it. You bring it to life. You bring it on into the house. Here comes all this burden, this bondage. I mean, it outright better be about God. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's turn the page. Let's keep moving here. 1 Peter 4:16. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in that name. Jeez, that's a tough one. You're telling me that I need to be happy because I'm living without, because that's part of God's plan? Whew! Lord, forgive me, I thought an abundance of everything. But that's the point. The score, the measure, the mark within his time, we often need to be reminded of it, that it goes back to him. So what we might seek and find, he might already have it for us. We might already be on our way. And I think different. I like, here it comes in abundance. The gates of heaven have opened up and here it comes. I mean, it's outright yours. But let me tell you something. Even when you get them blessings, here it comes. It better be about God. You're feeling sorrow and agony and hurt, and you're fighting hate for one another. You're stricken, you're bitten. I ain't got anything good to say. I mean, amen. I mean, I'm going to tell you the truth. It better be about God. Here comes the joy, the happiness, the proclaiming it. I'm rejoicing. I'm happy. Success. I have achievement. It better be about God. Think about what I'm saying. You don't have to seek him. Seek and ye shall find. Ask and you shall receive. Very good. You don't have to seek him. He already lies within you. He knew every decision you were going to make. He gives you the approval. You got thumbs up. You're good as gold. I mean, outright the door, you're good to go. Ain't nobody that can deny his presence in your life in any way, shape, or form. And if they attempt to, and they're going to, guess what? You get to turn the other cheek. You get to rebuke. You get to repent. You get to walk away. No, I mean, it better be about God or I ain't trying to hear it. What are you going to do? What you gonna do? Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Well, you heard me, when in Roman, you'd like the Romans? Worship all the Romans worship? It ain't got to be right for you. Different colors, races, ethnicities. Somebody even said denominational preferences. Watch out. You believe in God and Christ? I mean, it better be about God. It's the way we walk, the way we move, and the way we embrace this world that accompanies the love that we've been given. But some of us, it is only the denial of his presence, the denial of his love, and the stubbornness of our own selfish wants and needs. Shall we choose to stumble and fall? It shall be our own inequity and our own loss, not the inequity of somebody else. I'm going to get going here and I'm going to close in prayer. And I'm asking you to follow up with questions, with answers, to respond on social media, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, to follow me, check out the Buzzsprout feeds, and to lay it on here. And we can have some more discussions and we can further explain or break down the interpretation and how it's relevant to some of us, purposeful and meaning, discipline, degree, competence, means, fulfillment, and how it isn't to others. And let me close in prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, and Christ our Savior Redeemer, how we so gracefully stumble in this world and how we consistently seek you. Let us be reminded when we take that breath that you lie within us every day in heart, soul, thought, word, and deed, that you are the reason that we're alive. That if we create the separation to where you're on one side and I'm on the other, that we never might have that fulfillment with you. Remind us of the privacy, of the intimacy, of the love that you have for us and the love that we can have for one another. That each and every day, commitment, love, unconditional, intentionally within consent is more important than any other form of inequity that we shall possess. Remind us that we shall gain in this world an abundance of everything and be very capable, confident, competent, advocate my counsel of Christ, returning it back to you. For I shall seek within you and I find within you, and you are the fulfillment that I need. Lord, forgive me. And I mean, it better be about God. Hallelujah. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, in Christ our Savior's name, we pray. Continue to follow me. Thank you for the donations. Thank you for the support. Thank you for the listeners. And have a very, very good, blessed day. God bless you.